we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity. That means every time we meet faith with the word of God, we are productive.
The word is the gospel.
That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation.
You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity. The Lord is going to bring people into enlargement. Amen. Through these teachings. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Now, you cannot hold your phone anymore. Just drop them, put them on flight mode. Okay? And we'll get into the business. Lift your hands toward heaven and just honor the Lord. Just bless Him. Just bless Him. Just honor Him. Just as we prepare our heart, Father, just talk to the Lord. Liba kosebredo kaposa, in kapato sila kopredosa. Ya yo. Marabato sushta pora dila debondo sushta pora ba. The psalmist says, "Let my prayer be as incense, and the lifting up of my hands like the evening sacrifice, the evening oblation." As we get ready for the word of the Lord, just open your mouth and bless the Lord. Lift your hands toward heaven in worship. Let the lifting of your hands be as the evening sacrifice. I want you to approach the word of God tonight with hunger and desire, with humility and passion. This is how to approach the world. This is how to receive from God. This is the protocol of transformation by the word. There must be a hunger. There must be a passion. There must be a desire. There must be humility of soul. You are saying, Lord, teach me your ways. 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 Show me your light. Teach me your ways. Lipa kopeto sishte pura bakapa. Spirit of the living God, reveal to us the treasure of the world. Reveal to us the treasure of the world. Your spirit opens to me the treasures of your world. That's why I sing, I will forever sing your praise. I will sing of the oneness of Yahweh. I will sing of for joy. I will sing of the oneness of your love. I will forever sing your praise. Father, tonight we have come humbly. We have come hungry. Speak to every heart. Transform every life. Let there be mighty impartations through these teachings tonight. In the name of Jesus. Let there be answers of peace through these teachings tonight. Answers of peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, will give you right of way. Go carry out your work in our lives, in our destinies. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Just welcome your neighbors on your left and on your right. Tell them you're welcome to church tonight. Hallelujah. Tell them the Lord is ready for you. Amen. You may be seated now. Hallelujah. What to do when there is no change as yet. That's a good place to shout the amen. What to do when there is no change as yet? Very quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. So what to do when there is no change as yet? I'd like you to announce to the city and everyone you know, all over the world. So we'll be doing this teaching every Tuesday through the month of April. Honestly, this is the voice of the Lord to his people. This is not a teaching to joke with. Seriously, you will learn a lot. And beyond learning, you will see things play out before your face. Amen. By the power of God. I said amen. He said, for which cause we faint not. Although our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, Message translation. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, Message translation. Hallelujah. What to do when there is no change as yet? You say, but we couldn't be more sure of what we saw and heard. Praise God. He said, we couldn't be more sure of what we saw and heard. God's glory, God's voice. The prophetic word was confirmed to us. You all do well to keep focusing on it. It's the one light you have in a dark time. As you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your heart. Hallelujah. Let's read it again. Maybe we should read it together so you can participate. 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. What light do you have in a dark time? His voice, the prophetic word which was confirmed to us. Hallelujah. There are two kinds of change. There is the outer change and there is the inward change. And every time we teach when there is no change as yet, we're actually talking about the outer change, the physical manifestations that believers desire in the light of their journey on the earth. You see, God is strategic. God doesn't do anything without the purpose. Oh, he doesn't. You know, many years ago, when we began to learn about our purpose on the earth, I love the examples we were given. And that is the fact that if all God wanted was for us to be in heaven, that precious evening when you got saved, that precious morning, that precious night when you felt the joy of salvation, when you were high, excited about how that now your soul is saved, the Lord would have taken you to heaven. Don't you think so? But if he left us on earth, it's because there is a purpose. There are no accidents with God. Hallelujah. It's all the things that will crystallize as a reality in your heart as you walk with the Lord, that there are no accidents with God. He does things on purpose. So, living on the earth is for your purpose. We are here as the extensions of his heavenly kingdom. We are here as polythiomas of the heavenly kingdom. We are here as the colony of the heavenly kingdom. That means as far as, you remember Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray the other day. He says, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. thy will be done in the earth, in earth as it is in heaven. That means the heart cry of the Father, the desire of Papa God is for his kingdom to come upon the earth and for his will to be done where? In the earth. In the earth means first in the heart of man, because the spirit of man is encased in the earth. Your body, the human body, was formed out of the earth. Amen. That's the first way to look at it. And then extending to every sphere on the earth. That's the will of God. But see, as we journey on the earth in different phases of establishing his kingdom on the earth, of standing for him, of representing him, of partnering with him for his will to be done in the earth and on the earth, there'll be challenges, there'll be things to learn, there'll be landmarks of progress. Are we together? There'll be things that the Lord will bear through us at different seasons. Glory to God. But you see, the fact that we dwell in the earth realm has automatically brought, for the lack of a word to use, brought a likelihood of limitations. Let me put it that way. You see, the will of God doesn't need to be done in heaven. It's already established in heaven. Established in heaven. The Bible says, thy word forever and ever. Thy word is ever settled where? In heaven. Is settled in heaven. But here we are on the earth with the assignment to settle his word on the earth. There'll be interferences. There'll be limitations. Some coming from us. Some coming from the external environment. Have it together. So God has designed in such a way that for anything to happen on the outside, it should first happen on the inside. Glory to God. For anything to happen on the outside on the earth, it must first be accomplished in the spirit realm and in the heart of a person. Until that is done, nothing can happen on the earth. Are we together? Now, the lack of understanding of the simple thing I just said has brought frustration, disappointment to many believers and many Christians. They try to do things, things they believe very strongly. Look, this is what the Lord will have me do. Or this is what God has promised me from his word. This is what the Lord has shown me. This is what the Lord told me. I receive a word of prophecy from the Lord. In fact, I felt the anointing where the word came. I saw from scriptures. In fact, light shone on my heart when I saw that thing from scriptures. Are we together? I had this vision and I believe it's from God. I sense this thing within me that it's time for this to happen. How come it has not happened? Are we together? So a lot of people are frustrated, confused, some disappointed. There are those who have become atheists because they waited and waited on God and they had their hopes dashed. They had their confidence bruised. Are we together? So you see many people like that. And some teachings by preachers who are not so knowledgeable in the things of scriptures have not also helped the matter. A family loses a child who is just three. They come and tell them, well, God needed a flower in heaven and plucked it to heaven. And then the person cannot reconcile what is so in the Bible about a good and beautiful God with God plucking, needing a fly in heaven, and is their only child they can see to pluck. Is somebody here? Or tragedy happens, calamity, terrible things happen, and instead of people to just keep their mouth shut, they come with lack of understanding of the mind of God and paint a picture of God that the scripture does not support. And then multiplies people's confusion, multiply their frustration. Are we together? And also the other extreme are people who sell hope without the principle to deliver it. Because as far as earth is concerned, hope is not a strategy. Hope is the beginning of the journey. So someone can paint a picture of hope, and if he doesn't teach you from scriptures, your hope or the pictures, you just be like an old aircraft in the airport that never flies. Have it together. So a lot of Christians have questions in their heart. You know, I got messages from the introductory part last Sunday. People are beginning to have their questions answered. And I'm grateful to the Lord for that. And truly, this is why I want every believer to listen to this series. What to do when there is no change as yet? A lot of Christians have questions in their hearts. But God has answers to those questions. The answers are locked up in scriptures. Why are there delays? Why does it look as though, look, this thing is accomplished in my heart, but it's not happening on the outside? Why does it look as though, well, God has given me a word, but it is not manifesting? I thought by now the things should have come to pass. Why? Those are the questions to be answering. And I want you to open your heart to receive help from the Lord. And after receiving help from the Lord, with the same mercy that you have received, to be able to help others. Have it together. So last week we began by giving two dimensions to the discussion. Number one, the principle of process. Now look, every time God shows you a picture, gives you a vision, is for an appointed time. Amen. And there's what to do within the time before the manifestation. And then the second side to it is, every time God gives you a vision, waiting for that appointed time could be challenging. Challenges will come, Satan will throw things at you. How do you navigate your path? And that was when we read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Are we together? All right, so we'll continue today now. I say there are two kinds of changes. The outward change, which is what we are dealing with. When there's no outward manifestations yet, what do you do? Okay, what do you do? In fact, by extension, the second part of the change is inward change, inner transformation. And for some, there is no even inner transformation and they are waiting for outward change. It doesn't work that way. There has to be inner transformation. So what do you do even when there is no inner transformation yet? The Bible says receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. And we say that the faith circle is complete by internal conversion. So, okay, so when that change has not happened, because somebody is saying, Pastor, I know I'm supposed to believe, but me, I don't think I even believe. That's inner conversion hasn't happened. There's no inner change. So, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Now, before we jump into talking about managing your focus and your faith, which will be the crux of this discussion, I want us to go through the likely reasons. Why would there likely be delays in the outward changes? Why? Let's diagnose the possible things. And I have seven things here. Amen. Seven reasons for delays. Seven reasons why a believer could have a delay in the outward change that they desire, in the outward change that they want. And I need you to listen. Okay? I need you to listen. As you are hearing, just gauge it in your heart. Amen. And follow the scriptures. I'll be reading. So, why? What are the reasons? Why would there be a possibility of delay in outer changes, in outer manifestation? Number one, lack of strong desire for change. Write it down. Lack of strong desire for change. You better be right, you know. Amen. Lack of strong desire for change. You know, there are many believers who are accusing God of not doing his part, but they don't even know how to do their own part. You see, part of the conditions or the things that must be in place for the physical manifestations of what we want is a strong desire. A very strong desire. Many people don't know that. Did you read about the children of Israel in the wilderness? You know what God said to Moses? He said, I made them hungry that I may feed them with manna. You see, that shows the power and the purpose of desire. It shows the power and the purpose of hunger. That means until they were hungry, God could not feed them. Are we together? As long as man is on the earth, The Bible says the heavens, even the heavens of heavens belong to God. But the earth has he given to the sons of man. Listen, as long as Adam's lease over the earth is not over, man will always have to invite God for God to act in his life. Now, if that is not true, then everybody in the world should have their needs met. Should be walking in the perfect path of destiny, of purpose. Because God is a love God. Are we together? God is a love God. God is passionately love. That means God doesn't desire that any should perish. That means God is uncomfortable seeing people suffering. So what is tying his hand? The law of territory. What is tying his hand? Adam's lease is not over. What is tying his hand? Earth belongs to man. And for God, according to the law of lease, for a landlord to come into a property that has been leased, he has to be invited by the tenant. Are we together? And desire invites God. Okay. Desire invites God. Listen, as you are hearing this thing, apply them to yourself. Review your hearts. Incline your ears and put them to work. Desire. Now, how hungry are you for that change? How desirous are you for that change? And there are things that God has put in place to fire up your hunger. I mean, to fire up your hunger and your desire. There are things. There are things to do. There are things to look at. There are things to hear for your hunger and your desire to be hotter. Are we together? Desire. The lack of strong desire can be a reason for delay. Sometimes when you speak to people and they want financial change, from the way they are even talking, they are not tired of poverty. And anybody who teaches financial freedom can tell you very categorically that nobody, I mean absolutely nobody, comes out of financial lack without a strong desire for a change. And it applies to different areas of our lives. The law of desire. The law of desire. The same thing we see in the face of God and the power of God. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 to 13 in Message translation. You can put it up somewhere. Every significant change in the kingdom starts with a desire. This is how God has programmed it. So, how strong is your desire in that area of change? In fact, that people even pray about something is not proof of strong desire. Because anybody can pray. Not every prayer will be answered. Look at the kind of prayer that the Bible says will be answered. It says the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. That means a prayer that shows a passion for change. A prayer that shows a palpable desire for transformation. A palpable desire for a change of outcome. So when there is no change as yet, visit the level of your desire. Gauge your hunger level. The hunger for the change. Job, are we together? Gauge the hunger for the change. And when you gauge the hunger for the change and is low, do something about it. Oh yes, do something about it. Fan the hunger to flame. Fan the desire to flame. For some, there are conversations you remember and you are stirred. There are videos you watch and you are stirred. There are people you hear and you are stirred. Are we together? There are pictures you see and you are stirred. There are places you go to and you sit up. Oh, for some of you, it's the journal. You can open what the Lord told you and suddenly there's an awakening of a desire that is winning. Ah, that hunger and desire is important too. That is what you exchange. Like we always say, that in the realm of the spirit, desire and hunger is the currency. You exchange it for what you are looking for. How hot is your desire? He said he made them hungry that he may feed them with manna. Manna means what is this? But they were hungry enough to eat what is this. A hungry person does not select food. Do you understand? A hungry person does not select food. He doesn't complain. When you give it to him, you eat it. That means when the desire and the hunger for that change grips your soul, you are ready to take the next steps without being advised. But when people are relaxed like a desiccant and they say, Lord, why me, Lord? When are things going to change? And you look into their heart, there is no hunger. There is no desire. They have not fulfilled their path. Are you blessed? They have not fulfilled their part. You want to win souls. How hot is your hunger for soul winning? How hot is your desire for lives being changed? You want your family saved. You want your siblings saved. How strong is that desire? How hungry are you about it? You want that church to grow. How hungry are you about it? You want revival in the city. How hungry are you about it? Hunger, get your desire level. Because as long as hunger is low, the time of manifestation is still further. Write this thing down. As long as your desire is not strong, you postpone the days of manifestations. We can see your hunger, your desire in your pursuit. He said, one thing have I desired, and part will I seek after. We can see what you desire by your pursuit. You can't desire one thing and seek after another thing. No, your desire will be shown in the things you pursue. When there's no change as yet, you are saying, Lord, why has my finances not changed? What's your hunger level about financial change? Oh, that hunger level will drive you to read books about money. There are some of you I've been talking about. If you want to change, when we talk about financial knowledge, I gave instructions in February. I said, the number of books you should have read about money and prosperity should be equal to the number of your age in years. That means if you are 30, at least study 30 books on money and prosperity. Then you begin the journey. There are some who have not even done it. They've not read three. Since then, no hunger. Ah! When you are hungry, you sit down. You devour it. The Bible says, true desire, a man having separated himself, intermeddleth with all wisdom. Mixes with wisdom. Interfaces with wisdom. Hunger and desire will separate you to mix with the wisdom required to put you over. So you don't drag God first. Get your hunger level and desire level. Am I really hungry for this change? Do I want a new job? Do I want to change my finances? Do I want to be healthy? Do I want an excellent Christian life? Do I want a victorious Christian life? Am I desirous? Is there a picture I'm seeing? And am I serious about getting there? Hunger. What's your hunger level? Look at what it says in Jeremiah 29 verse 13. Message translation. Is he up? Glory to God. Are you blessed tonight already? Jeremiah 29 verse 13. Thank you, Lord. He says, when you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I will hear. He said, when you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes. When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. Can you see that? When you want it more than anything else. Can you see that? Next. He said, I will make sure you won't be disappointed. God's decree. So when you want something more than anything else, you make sure you are not disappointed. Now that is talking about seeking God. Desiring the manifestation of his presence and glory in your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you can fan the flames of your hunger for change by your exposure. Like I said, there are pictures you see. There are videos you know. There are situations you reveal in your mind. There are times you remember the way somebody insulted you because there is no change as yet. Your desire will be stronger. How many of you can relate to what I'm saying? So when they looked at you and sized you up because you didn't have money, you move your desire. You wake up and read that book. When they looked at you and sized you up, they said you are not intelligent. They even said it verbally. You will sit down and improve your brain cells. They are triggers. You know them. Are we together? You know them. But that's the first thing. Lack of strong desire. Lack of hunger. Look at Anna. Anna had been patient and receiving insult from Penina. She will float her children until one day she went to Shiloh. She has been going to Shiloh, but that is different. She had decided not to receive, she had been receiving consolation. You know what the consolation? The husband will come and say, am I not more than 10 sons to you? And she'll smile and pass. This day she said, no, you are not. I want my children. The Bible says she began to pray, Ayapetosa, until Eli the priest thought she was drunk. He said, woman, you are already drunk. She said, I'm not drunk. I'm pouring out my heart. She thought, may God answer your petition. Desire and hunger. And if you already have that pulsating hunger and desire, don't reduce it. Don't let anything take it away from you. Anything you hear from anybody that will win your hunger in that area, delete it. Run away from people who reduce your hunger for God, your hunger for the change you desire, your hunger for transformation, your hunger for a better future. Run away from them. Don't hang around Christians who don't believe that Christianity should make you amount to something. Don't hang around them. There are people that when you mention greatness and prosperity, they look at you like you are carnal. Don't hang around them. If you tell them, look, I want to be the VC, the youngest VC, they just look at you, Jesus is coming very soon. Is that what you're thinking? Don't stay around them. They will reduce your hunger to fulfill your destiny. Amen. You are hungry to make money. You know why. You know what God told you, and somebody says it's not about money. Don't hear it too. Are you blessed? Lack of strong desire for change. That's the number one reason. Number two, ignorance of right kingdom principles for that outcome. Of change, for that outward change, sorry. Ignorance of the right kingdom principle for the change of outcome. Ignorance. Oh yes, a person can have strong desires and not know how to channel that desire. It's possible. Good intention is not enough. That a person wants a transformation in that area is not enough. There must be a pursuit of knowledge, a clarity and understanding of the principles ordained by heaven to bring the outcome. Are you blessed? There must be. So most times when you see delays, that's another reason. Or sometimes when you see delays and there's no change as yet, this could be responsible. Ignorance of the kingdom principle to apply for the desired outcome. In Job, he says, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Hallelujah. A man of God wanted, I'm paraphrasing now, so you can even quote me. He says, the understanding the person, meeting the person of Jesus guarantees your eternity. Understanding the principles of Jesus guarantees your relevance on the earth. Did you get that? That means that your born again does not automatically translate to you understanding the principles that govern God's kingdom. That is why he says, seek ye first the kingdom. The kingdom that talks about the king and his domain. But it didn't stop there. And his righteousness. That means his way of doing things. His way of doing things. You can know the king without understanding his way of doing things. Oh yes, it's true. Go and ask Job. Oh yes, it's true. You see, when there's a lack of understanding of the principle in the kingdom assigned to produce that result, there'll be delays. So what's the cure then? A passionate pursuit of the secret and the mysteries of the kingdom, beginning from prayer to study. What did he say? Paul says, I pray for you, right? That the light of the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. A translation says that you may understand that your eyes of understanding be flooded with light, that you may know secrets and mysteries in the intimate knowledge of God. Amplified translation, you can put it up. Amplified. Okay. It says, I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And this is what I'm looking for. Of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of God. Can you see that? There are secrets and mysteries. secret, mysteries and secret. You can have insight into those secrets and mysteries in the deep and intimate knowledge of God. Once that is not there, there may be a delay. Some may love God sincerely, genuinely. If he doesn't have financial intelligence, you'll be broke. True or false? He may desire to be prosperous. It's not enough. He'll be broke. She'll be crying in prayer, Lord, why? I've been serving you for 5 years now. I've been serving you for 10 years now. Why has my finances not changed? She doesn't understand the principles that govern financial abundance. There will be delay. Are we together? Some may love God if he doesn't understand how to be friendly. The Bible says a man who must have friend must show himself friendly. Praise God. If she doesn't understand how to act like a wife, the virtues of a wife, she may love God, serve God, and nobody. People may come around and leave because of the attitude, because of the lack of understanding of how to relate with a man. And it may even be coming from a background that she had no control over. Have it together. She talks to men in a certain way. She's disrespectful. A man is not your roommate. A man is not another woman. Amen. Do you understand? Praise God. But see, it's not because there's no desire, but there's a lack of understanding of the principle that will produce that result. Hallelujah. It's in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people, not the people of the world, my people are what? Shall destroy it for what? For the lack of what? Knowledge. Praise God. He didn't say they are destroyed because Satan is so powerful, but the lack of knowledge, the lack of light and insight. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come. That means until light comes, you are sitting down in darkness. Did you get that? That means you only arise and begin to shine at the arrival of light. And that light there is the understanding of the righteousness of God. Praise God. Are you blessed? So we said number two is ignorance of the right kingdom principle for the desired outcome. Number three, sin consciousness and condemnation. Reasons why there may be delay in the desired outcome. Sin consciousness and condemnation. Look up at me, everyone. This is a very serious one. Many Christians are victims of this. They love God. They have strong desire for change. They are even beginning to understand the principles of God's word. But see, every time you see it, your heart has been programmed to reproduce what it has experienced. That means until your heart experiences a thing, it cannot reproduce it. And say, sin consciousness is a virus. Notice I didn't say sin. Sin consciousness and condemnation. That sense of unworthiness, that what you are seeking, you are not qualified for it. That what you desire is for some special thing. God is delivering someone tonight. That thing you desire in your heart, even though you desire it, you are not sure it's for someone like you. Maybe because of your past. Maybe because of what you heard about God. Somehow in your mind, in the innermost part of your consciousness, you feel, look, oh, this thing is not for someone like me. Sin consciousness. It paralyzes faith. It makes you feel you are unworthy. And you see, the cure to this is the revelation of the grace of God and of the fatherhood of God. Of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fatherhood of God. The love of God. There are many people, just by listening to the message on understanding righteousness, they receive their healing. Why? Just listen to a message on righteousness. Somehow, through that revelation of the righteousness of faith, it occurred to them that look. I am qualified for this. My effort is not my qualification. The blood is my qualification. And once that dawns on them, more, boy, they could receive from God. The Bible says, the hand of the Lord is not too short that he cannot deliver. But man's iniquity has separated him from God. You see, after Jesus came, what separates men now, especially those who have believed in the Lord Jesus, is their consciousness of sin and condemnation. The Bible says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Glory to God. Glory to God. Condemnation. You know what that means? You see, every time you look at this, should be happening now, man. It's not happening. One of the things of visit is, look, is there sin consciousness somewhere? Is there condemnation and guilt somewhere? You should be able to answer that question sincerely. If it's showing up anywhere in your heart, deal with it. With the revelation of God's righteousness, with the revelation of the grace of the Lord and the Fatherhood of God. Are we together? Sin consciousness. Is a problem for many believers. The funny thing about the subconscious man is this. You see, you may shout on the outer, but it works like a program. When you are done shouting, you say, hey, bros, come. This is where we are. You cannot have this thing. Sis, madam, come. You know you cannot have this thing. And even you might, in the privacy of your basic, it's true, sha. Let's see how it goes. And then you resort to religion. Well, Lord, just do what you want to do. It's a lie, you. It's a lie. It's not going to do what you want to do. Something is robbing you of your confidence. Your heart is condemning you. You see, God does not condemn you. It's your heart that condemns you. He said, for if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence toward God. Confidence toward God. He said, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. To find grace, obtain mercy and find grace. Obtain mercy and... Are you guys here tonight? Obtain mercy and find grace. When you have need. So, don't let the virus of sin consciousness. If it's there somewhere, deal with it. The devil can tell a lady, because you did abortion, you can never have children. And somehow, when she's believing God for the fruit of the womb, somewhere in her mind, she just feels, well, it's the way I lived before I got born again. Before the Bible says, He says, if the body be sin because of righteousness, the Spirit gives it life. So he says, if the body be dead because of sin, the Spirit gives it life because of righteousness. That means the day you came into Christ, the Spirit supplies life to your body. Irrespective of what sin has done to it. That's what he's saying. In Romans 8. There are testimonies of people who conceived without tubes. Who conceived without uterus. Just faith. Believing in the forgiveness of God. Or the story of a dear sister many, many years ago. Who, when the brother came to marry her, she opened up and said, look, I had problem with my womb because I've done multiple abortions and serious problem with my womb. I think they even had that, maybe she is like she had hysterectomy. I'm not sure. That's removal of the womb. So I can have children. Are you still ready to marry me? And the brother went to pray and said, I'm convinced I am my wife. I'll marry you. Believe God. Amen. Story had it that she had an abdominal pregnancy. And she had a baby, amen. Shapulaka. How do you explain that? She got pregnant without a womb. Why? The Spirit gives it life because of righteousness. He now said, now if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from there shall vitalize your physical body by the same spirit that dwells in you. The blood is your qualification. Because of this sacrifice of Jesus, there's nothing too big for you. There's nothing too jaded for you. Are you here? There is no position. There is no dream too outrageous for you. No! You have a qualification. It's the blood of Jesus. You have a seal. It's the imperial name of Jesus. So you know what that signet ring means? That seal of royalty. When you carry it anywhere, when you stamp it anywhere, the doors open because this is the king's seal. This is the king's seal. This is the king's seal. That means you are not going at life with your own name. You are going in his name. The imperial name of Jesus. Oh yes, it's an imperial name. Oh, glory to God. You know what imperial means? Royalties. Royalty. When it comes, every door within that domain responds to that seal. Except it's not in the domain. And guess what? All of heaven, earth, and hell is within the jurisdiction of the name of Jesus. For God has given him a name that is far above all names. That the mention of that name, every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven, of things in the earth, of things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can I get an amen? So you don't let sin consciousness, condemnation, and inferiority, not for 1 minute. Anything you do wrong is between you and your father. Satan is not in the equation. Thank you, sir. You said to his family issue. How? Why will he get involved in our family business? He said, who is he that condemned? It is Christ who died. Yea, that is risen from the dead. He said, who can lay a charge against God's elect? It is God that justifies. It's family business. The one who has the right to condemn, unfortunately for the devil, is our family lawyer. He's our advocate. Are you here? So there is no need to let condemnation and inferiority and sin consciousness rob you of God's best. There's no need. You go to the Father, receive forgiveness, repent, and flow. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Are you blessed already? Number four. Four reasons why believers experience delays. There's no change as yet. Fourth reason. The lack of an oath of promise. You know, I talked about that during the weekend, total immersion, right? Boy, if you're not around, go and get those materials. It will upgrade your life forever. No, we talked about, when we're teaching about priesthood, we said every priest must have an oath of promise. We said the strength of our priesthood is an oath of promise. In Hebrews chapter 7, the Bible talks about the Lord making him a priest with an oath. You remember? He said all these other ones were priests without an oath. But this one was made a priest with an oath. And I told you that Hebrews 6 explains what the oath of promise is. And it applies to the priestly ministry of the believer. That you see, is to carry out priesthood, what you take and go within the veil is the oath of promise. That means a clear and definite word from the Lord concerning the change that you desire. What has the Lord said? That is the oath of promise. And the Bible says that hope is, that oath is the anchor for your soul, both sure and steadfast. And it's with that you enter within the veil where rods bud, meaning where results are produced. Supernatural results. You know, it was within the veil that the rod of Aaron budded, blossom and brought forth almond. You can't read the Bible and not believe in the supernatural. Rod budded, dry stick budded when the presence of God came upon him. There was first fruitfulness. He came under an atmosphere and he budded and blossomed and brought forth almond fruits. But you see, what you enter in, into that sacred place, into that within the veil, is the altar promise. We have it together. Amen. So that once there is no anchor, somebody is praying about healing, about the salvation of a loved one, about name it, the change, the reference point, what your heart gets a hold of that keeps consistent pictures for the manifestation is that altar promise. Is that altar promise? So every time there's no, we read it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He said, you do well to hold on to this light in the dark place. This sure word of prophecy. To hold on to it in the dark place. Until the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. That one light in the dark times. That one light, message translation. That one light in the dark times. That one light in the dark times. That is the oath of promise. That is the oath of promise. That is the oath of promise. When a believer does not have an oath of promise concerning the desires of their heart. Now, this is different from understanding principles. It's different. It's different. What has God said to you? You don't need to hear God's voice to understand the principles of the kingdom. Amen. But here we're talking about God's voice to you. God's word lighted in your spirit. What's the word of the Lord concerning that next phase of your career that you have seen or that you desire? That means every time there's a need, you get to the word and then get that altar promise and then get to prayer. And then that altar promise becomes the anchor for your soul. Becomes the anchor for your soul. When the wind is boisterous, your soul has an anchor. Imagine a ship without an anchor. It will be tossed to and fro. What do you think? But many Christians pray without an oath or promise. And God is not committed to perform what he has not said. Oh, did you get that? If I let me say this, let me put it this way. God is not permitted, he's not under obligation to perform what he has not said to you. Did you get it now? What he says to you is that oath or promise, that anchor of the soul. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. This is what gives your heart persuasions. It bets convictions and faith in your heart. Amen. James chapter 1 verse 8. Put up James chapter 1 verse 8. Oh, we'll read it. James 1 8. He's talking about the double-minded. He said, let that man not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. That means, you see, that oath of promise, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Go to verse 7. Verse 7. For let not a man, it's okay, go to verse 6 now. Sorry. He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Are you saying that? So if it's not in faith, but how does the faith come? The altar promise. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So he's waiting in vain. That means, did you hear what he's saying? This person went to pray, but he did not pray in faith. And he says, since he didn't pray in faith, he's double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He said, and let a man not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. But he's waiting to receive. So we can see why there are many disappointments for Christians. He's waiting to receive. But the Bible says his heart is vacillating. Why? There is no anchor for his soul. There is no oath or promise. Why will your husband be saved? Where's the oath or promise? Why should this happen? Where's the oath or promise? Why should you walk in healing? Where's the oath or promise? Why should you see the signs and wonders of God in your finances? Where's the oath of promise? And when God speaks, do you receive it and keep it in your heart? Are you getting this now? The oath of promise. It gives stability to your soul. It helps you not to fall in this James 1 category. So you are not unstable in your ways. Why? You have an anchor for your soul. Praise God. Let's jump. Number 5. Reasons for delay. Demonic manipulations. Hey. Huh? Demonic manipulations. This is real. Make no mistakes about it. So, you know, I told you in 2 Kings chapter 2, when Elisha was coming from, after he had taken the mantle, crossed over Jordan, and then he was going up to Bethel. The Bible says they met him 42 young men, okay, who began to mock him, saying, "Go up thou bald headed." So go up that bald headed in mockery. And I tell you that that was not God being, if you know anything about God, he loves children. Have it together. And it wasn't, when you read from the King James, it looks as though God was killing children. And I told you, read it very well. They were not children. They were young men. Okay. When you study, they were young men. Amen. And they were 42. And 42 is the number of the Antichrist. Have it together. You see, there are things that are written in the Old Testament as prophetic archetypes. When you look at them, you learn. You see things beyond the story that is being told. Amen. Now, the Antichrist, you know, is going to rule for 42 months. And then you have 42 young men. Okay, young men. You call it little children. Go and study. It's young men out of the city. Mocking him, and then the spirit of the Christ. Remember, Elisha is a type of the church. Elijah is a type of Christ. The mantle, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, after Jesus was taken up into heaven, the Holy Spirit came upon the church. The same thing, when Elijah was taken up, the mantle fell, a type of the Spirit, and came upon Elisha, a type of the church. In fact, there are many things you see in the story that shows that truly, Elisha is a type of the church. In a way, are we together? So, this is to show you that as the church receives the Holy Ghost to carry out their assignment, there will be mockery of the spirit of the Antichrist. And that mockery of faith, of course, will come through demonic manipulations. You will shout prosperity and they will try to block the money from coming from you, from coming to you. Are we together? You will shout and bless, and they will attempt to make things go around you as though the blessing is not working. It's called demonic manipulations. The anointing upon Elisha didn't stop the young man from mocking, but he had a response. Hi, this church. He had the response. He responded firmly. The Bible says he cursed them, and she bears appeared. Shabakula paya. Where did they come from? The word manipulated them. The words fabricated them. The words he spoke. And they came out and devoured that opposition, which was a symbol of demonic antagonism. Are we together? It's the same thing for you. There are times where the delay is coming from demonic interferences. You have to engage in warfare. You have to take your stand and take your authority as God's region, as the representation of the Christus on the earth, and exercise your authority over the demonic manipulations. You say, "You devil, get your hands off my finances. In the name of Jesus, get your hands off my body. In the name of Jesus, get your hands off my children. Get your hands off my marriage. In the name of Jesus, get your hands off my business. In the name of Jesus, you take your stand. Get out of my marriage. In the name of Jesus." You roar. You respond with the voice of judgment. You don't keep quiet. There are times some of it has happened to you before. After such firm stand and taking your authority, you begin to see changes. You begin to see things taking shape. Are we together? You begin to see adjustment. You begin to see doors open. Because truly, there are demonic interferences as we journey on the earth. You have to understand that spiritual warfare applies to new creations. It's not because they don't have the victory. No. Like I told you, the anointing coming upon Elisha didn't stop the mockery of the 42 young men. Have it together. The anointing, the new creation reality that Paul knew, didn't stop him from fighting the beast at Ephesus. Oh, they came for him. In fact, there was a time he had to pray about this thorn in his flesh. And the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you. He's the one who wrote, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. He said, take on the whole armor of God, that I'm able to withstand the wiles of the devil in the evil days. Are you here? Know when to take your stand. Know when you must learn how to interpret and discern demonic movements around you. Learn to discern. Learn to discern. Don't have this erroneous thinking that because you're under grace, you're a new creation, Satan will not attempt to manipulate things around you. Oh yes, he will attempt to. There was a story of a church and a pastor. That church was not growing. Neither was he experiencing the move of the Spirit. I think it was Kenneth Hagin. I get the story. You go and preach, the heavens will be like as brass. So that the Lord opened the eyes of the preacher. And he saw a demon hanging close to the stage, close to the pulpit also, close to the platform, in the spirit. That was the gift of discerning of spirit now. And he commanded the devil. He was like a monkey. He said, get out of my church. You move and move and stand. He said, I say go. You move and move and stand. I say go. He pursued the devil out of the church, down the street. He entered into a bar. A few days from there, the bar caught fire and burnt down. And suddenly the church began to experience the move of the Spirit and growth. Is that normal? That man is not because he didn't have desire. It's not because he didn't understand principle. Are you here? It's not because he has sin consciousness. No. This one is called demonic manipulations. I'm teaching tonight. It's called demonic manipulations. You must be spiritually intelligent enough to discern those movements around your business, around your finances, around your health, your home, your career, your investments. You can't have three cars. You wake up today, one car is having a problem. You take the second one, problem will start. In 1 week, all the three cars are down. That is not normal. Open your mouth and talk. Curse those devils. Send them out of your house. Are you here? Anywhere you see calamity and tragedy, Satan is behind it. Are you here? There are times you have to discern. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 to 3, you need to put it on. Daniel began to fast and pray for 3 weeks, right? 21 days. And then at the time we get to verse 12, go to verse 12 now, yes. Go to verse 12 quickly. Go to verse 12. Are you verse 12? Look at this. Now, he was verse 2 and 3, he was fasting. He was fasting and praying for 21 days. And then said he, the angel unto me, he said, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before the Lord, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Next verse. Look at this. So from the first day, now this was the 21st day, 3 weeks, the person with his answer was willed. That's what he's saying. He said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 121 days. What? Now, he's not talking about, this is an angel talking. A physical prince, a human being cannot hold an angel. Do you understand? He's talking about a spiritual prince of darkness. Watch this. He said, withstood me for 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of your chief princes. So you can see he's comparing the prince of Persia with the prince of Israel. He said, Michael, one of your chief princes, came to help me and remained there with the kings of Persia, with the rulers of Persia. That's what they say. Next verse. Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Next verse. Just keep going. And when he has spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became numb. 16. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, oh my Lord, by the vision my souls are turned unto me, and I have retained no strength. Verse 17. We're reading 20. Well, how can a servant go to verse 18? Then they came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Verse 19. I'm saying, oh, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto you. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he has spoken unto me, I was strengthened. Kaya bokosaya. And said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. He spoke words, be strong. Yea, be strong. When he spake, he was strengthened. Verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. And if you know anything about history, after the prince of Persia was defeated, who rose again? Greece. After Persia, Greece became the world power. To show you that when things are happening physically, the back end is spiritual. The prince of Grecia came, and Greece became the world power. That means this context, they crippled the prince of Persia, and the kingdom began to fall. But that's not our focus. Our focus is the fact that an angel was relayed by a demon. The answer to a man's prayer was relayed, was delayed, and relayed by devils. Amen. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Yes, sir. But we have authority over them. You don't need to wait 21 days. We have authority over them. Can I get an amen? Yes. So that's the fifth part. Demonic manipulations. And the cure is warfare. Are we together? Are we together? Number six, disobedience and laziness. Why there are delays? Disobedience and laziness. Clear your account. Go and sow seed. With confirmations everywhere. That's the next phase to your finances. Say, I bind you, Satan. Satan does not tell you to give, in case you don't know. Amen. I don't need to complete it. You know how it plays out. But you see, when God instructs you to get something out, it's because he has something he wants to get across to you. But he needs to create a legal template to get it across to you. Remember the story of Lester Sumrall that Pastor Godwin gave on Sunday? He gave $40,000 to that missionary. That was all they had. They were trying to build their church and all that. Lester Sumrall, a great 20th century evangelist. Amen. And God spoke to a doctor and his wife to come and give him $150,000. And they came and gave to him. And he said, Lord, this is a miracle. God said, no, it's not a miracle. This is not a miracle. It's transaction. I told you to do this for my missionary. You obeyed. I had laid in somebody's heart to give this to you. And your action opened the door for this person to bring this to you. Are we together? Imagine if he didn't do it. The coming of $150,000 will be what? Delayed. That's if he eventually comes. Are we together? Yes, sir. Imagine if Naaman did not dip in Jordan 7 times. His healing will be delayed. Two of us. Jesus told the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. Imagine you say, ah, sir, my hand is withered. I can't stretch it for. Don't you understand? he can't. You remember there was this man who had been impotent for 37 long years. 37 long years. That means covenant people can suffer for long. Disobedience. And you see, sometimes it's impossible to gain by sacrifice what you lost by disobedience. So go and ask Saul, the king of Israel. Disobedience. Praise God. Disobedience can cause delays. You see, when God gives an instruction, there's an urgency with which it must be carried out. It's a training you need to give yourself. Learning to respond. You see, I've taught this there before. We do the word, but we obey the instructions of the Spirit. So don't be afraid of the word obedience, especially when God gives instructions. You must train your mind to respond promptly to the instructions of the Spirit, to the instructions of the Father. Prompt instructions. For every time, you see in the life of Abraham, I listened to a message many years ago, Obedience, the Stronghold of Faith by Bishop Adebo. I'll never forget that message. The Stronghold of Faith. Abraham, look at the instructions. Look at Abraham's response to the instructions he was given. Prompt. And Abraham departed. And Abraham departed, carried the lad with sticks and went to the mountain that the Lord will show him. As in prompt obedience. That man, he didn't even tell his wife because he knew Sarah. Amen. So glory to God. That means they are setting response to God's instruction. Don't call your family people. Say, oh, my family people, my clan. This thing the Lord is telling me, what do you see about it? The Lord is telling me to give my car to church. What can you say about it? You are not wise. Your clan people, they'll tell you that the pastor has twisted your brain. Are you here? You can see why there are delays and why for some it looks as though there is no change. Disobedience. The second part is laziness. Laziness is something that both God and Satan agrees that they don't need. Even Satan doesn't use lazy people. So you don't know. He doesn't use lazy people. It's something, you know, there's something that they have agreed that, look, we don't need. That means a lazy man, a lazy woman is useless to God and useless to Satan. Ah! He must treat laziness like a plague. He must treat it like a disease. Don't be lazy. Don't be mentally lazy. Don't be physically lazy. Because laziness, you are about to be useless to your generation. Are you here? Say a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arm. Say, so shall your poverty come like an armed man. Armed man. Armed. Meaning there's no way of escape. Do you understand? So disobedience and laziness can cause unnecessary delays. Are we dissecting this thing? Glory to God. All right, let's drop this here. Finally, God's timing / lack of capacity to handle what you are asking for. I put them together for a reason. God's timing. Oh, yes, God's timing. And most times that timing is because of your capacity in handling what you're asking for. Give me Exodus 23:29. Oh, boy. Are you blessed tonight? Exodus 23:29. Exodus 23:29. Start from verse 28. Let me see 28. Look at this. It says, and I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. 29 now. 20, yeah. Look at this. This is God talking concerning the promised land. He says, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land becomes desolate and the beast of the field multiply against you. God is wise. Do you understand what he's saying? I'm going to drive the inhabitants of the promised land from before thee. But I will not do it in 1 year. If I drive them all out in 1 year, you don't have the capacity to possess the land. So the peace of the field will multiply against you. It's the same thing in life. There are things God cannot give you suddenly. If it does, the peace of the field will multiply against you. So you say, I will drive them out gradually, by little and little. That's verse 30. I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. What he's saying is, until you develop inner capacity to take possession, I'll be doing it little by little. Are you seeing that? So most time, what you call the timing of the spirit is because of your inner capacity to handle what you're asking for. That means the day you decide to expand your inner capacity to increase and ready to inherit the land, you drive them out. Did you get that? That's what the Lord is saying. I won't drive them all out at once because you can handle it. You can handle it. So what's the cure to this? Rugged, radical capacity development. Oh, you're asking God for a city. Develop capacity to run a city. You are asking God for a nation. Develop capacity to run a nation. You are asking God for your company, your product to spread wide. Develop capacity to handle product spreading wide. Develop capacity. Develop capacity. I will not drive them out at once, lest the beasts of the field multiply against you, but little by little, until you are increased. Glory to God. Until you are increased. Remember Galatians 4? He said, an heir, as long as he's a child, doesn't differ from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He said, therefore, the Father puts him under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. He says, so were we. So, originally, he's talking about grace and law. But you see, there's a lesson of growth to learn from there. That means you are put under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. That means as you grow, you enter into the inheritance. Literally, vitally. Even though it's legally yours. Are you learning something tonight? So sometimes the delay is because God cannot do it. He wants you to increase your capacity. Success has weight. It can kill. Have it together. Big things have weight. Do you have the capacity to sustain, to hold it? To carry what you're asking for. So sometimes the delay could come from that capacity. We want to reach the whole world, but God has to review our worldview. He keeps teaching us, stretching us until the world looks like a village. And then we'll take it over. Are we together? The timing of the Spirit. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 to 19, he talks about co-perception with the Spirit, a good conscience. That also talks about God's timing. He says, holding faith and a good conscience. Oh, verse 19. He says, holding faith and a good conscience. A good conscience, that means co-perception with the Spirit. As you are seated there now, you don't need a private jet this month. Do you need a private jet this year? So it may be part of your prayer point. So Lord, this private jet thing, I want it. So where you are now, can you pay for a hangar? Can you fuel a private jet? Can you run the maintenance? Do you have the knowledge base? Are we together? Do you have the knowledge base to run a private jet charter business? If it's okay, Pastor, I'll put it as charter. Do you have the knowledge base to run it? Are you getting me now? So, you may have faith to move mountain, but the mountain of a private jet, you won't move it with your faith because there's no co-perception with the Spirit in your heart. You don't have the faith for it. And so, this is part of how to know God's will for your life in different phases. You will come and pray about something. I notice I don't have the faith for it. So you know it's not time. Are we together? You don't have the faith for it. You are trying to muster faith. It's not just coming. If it's time for it, the faith, you see, faith ruptures the pregnancy of destiny. That means faith is not just cooking up something in your heart. Destiny per time. That means in this phase of your life, this is what is needed. So you are now pregnant. This is what faith comes to rupture, to bring out the baby of what should be happening in this phase. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you should have faith for it. You should have faith for it. Praise God. You should have faith for it. So faith works with co-perception with the Spirit. The timing of the Spirit. You know in your heart it's not time for private jet. So that will not happen this month. Or this year. Praise God. Very important. So maybe a young sister who is 17, 100 level as I'm talking, watching me, is not, you don't have co-perception to marry this year. Praise God. So, and the sister next to you may be shouting when we talk about marriages are happening, maybe shouting with passion. You are shouting to encourage our faith. But it's not within the radar. You don't have co-perception for it. You don't have co-perception for it. You don't have co-perception for it. It's not, it doesn't show. It's not there. Praise God. Oh my God. I remember when I was the under level like 20 years ago or more. About 20 years. You can't relationship. You are something that was far. You can't be saying it didn't make sense. Praise God. I used to say hello, hi to ladies. Hey, hi, how you doing? Oh, good to see you, man. I'm past. Praise God. Hallelujah. He doesn't show. Praise God. So, faith operates by co-perception of the Spirit. The timing of the Lord plus your capacity to handle what you are asking for can cause delay. Can make it look as though there is no change as yet. So, you have to find out, does this thing fall within the boundary of my destiny of what should happen in this phase before you release your faith for it. Before you release your faith for it. That's one. Then number two, am I developing the capacity required to handle what I'm asking for? That one is your responsibility. Rise to your feet.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.